Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Oh yeah. Monday. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome, coming to you again with some empowerment, information, knowledge, power, and wisdom right here on a Sunday. Got Sister Krista in the house today. We're going to be talking about how to make families whole again. Hang on, y'all. We got something for you today. Oh, yeah. And it's better love. That's what we got here. And the Empowerment Network. Oh, yeah. And there is no better love. Y'all know it to be true. Brothers and sisters, there is no greater love or no better love than for self and kind here at the Empowerment Network. We're talking about love for family. And today we're going to talk about making families whole again on Empowerment Sunday. It's spiritual principles, right? But it's personal development, it's perspectives, it's opinions, and it's a different way to look at ministry, right? But not necessarily how we used to do it in the traditional church. But we're going to be preaching to you today about what we need to do to change our lives. So it's a ministry, and it's an everyday ministry, just not on Sundays. It's every day that we begin to practice how we're going to be able to live our lives effectively to get the change that we're looking for in our community. So as always, on Sunday, we start with the laws of my heart. I'll be right back with Krista.
The 42 laws of Maat. I have not committed sin. I have not committed robbery with violence. I have not stolen. I have not slain men or women. I have not stolen food. I have not swindled offerings. I have not stolen from God. I have not told lies. I have not carried away food. I have not cursed. I have not closed my ears to truth. I have not committed adultery. I have not made anyone cry. I have not felt sorrow without reason. I have not assaulted anyone. I am not deceitful. I have not stolen anyone's land. I have not been an eavesdropper. I have not falsely accused anyone. I have not been angry without reason. I have not seduced anyone's wife. I have not polluted myself. I have not terrorized anyone. I have not disobeyed the law. I have not been excessively angry. I have not cursed God. I have not behaved with violence. I have not caused disruption of peace. I have not acted hastily or without thought. I have not overstepped my boundaries of concern. I have not exaggerated my words when speaking. I have not worked evil. I have not used evil thoughts, words, or deeds. I have not polluted the water. I have not spoken angrily or arrogantly. I have not cursed anyone in thought, words, or deeds. I have not placed myself on a pedestal. I have not stolen what belongs to God. I have not stolen from or disrespected the deceased. I have not taken food from a child. I have not acted with insolence. I have not destroyed property belonging to God. The 42 laws of Maat.
Just imagine for a moment if we could begin to apply these principles in our lives and in our communities where we live, that we instill these in our families and in our children, that we begin to say we have not done these things, have not killed, have not stolen, have not robbed. And so if we can just begin to shift just a little bit our thinking in terms of how we engage, our communities and our families can get better. So today we're going to talk about making our families whole and bringing in Krista now. Krista Ellison. Krista, you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
All right, welcome to the show. I'm doing well today. Krista is the executive director of Freedom Over Everything. She's also the community liaison. So we wanted to get her in here today. And her ministry is to help people, individuals, and families. So I want you to talk about what it is that you do first, and then we'll talk about how your ministry works and what we need to do to make families whole again. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Well, what I do is I'm the executive director for these three gentlemen, founders of Freedom Over Everything, who are currently incarcerated at Buckingham Correctional Facility. Nadir Salam, Kevin Dickerson, and Oliver Adams have put together workshops in the prison to rehabilitate themselves and better and others in prison, so that they, once they're released, they can re-enter society as a productive citizen. And I just work from the outside. These men have done diligently and strategic work to make sure that they qualify themselves. And Making Whole Again is actually one of their initiatives that they have come up with and created themselves. So when I think of making whole, when they speak of making families whole again, it's how can fathers reconnect with their families once released, or in general, because when you think of RHA housing, Richmond Redevelopment Housing Authority is built for the women with single with children. It's not really designed to have the men in the family dynamic.
True.
So allowing these men to come home and to reconnect with their families, you have to have trust, number one. You have to build safety, health aspect, education. The natural environment has to be there. Images and reputation has to be, you have to build that rapport, build that trust again. And the image of the community, like the trash, and you have to think about what the community looks like right when you go riding past or riding through. The community looks overall. And you also have to have a sense of community within, and health and wellness as well. So when I think of making a family whole again, let's just start with the application that RHA allows the women, or acts for, requires the women to fill out. The requirement does not, the requirement says, I need the father's social security number if you want to qualify for food stamps. I need the father's information for daycare. That way they seize the license, the driver's license of the father. So how is he getting back and forth to work if he can't drive there, if they have taken the license plate, if they have taken his license? How is he applying for a job without a license? You need your license for a lot of different things, but that's the first thing that they ask. Do you want us to take his license, or do you want us to lock him up? They ask you, and they give you a couple of options of action that they would do. How do you want us to handle him? So that right there breaks up the family. That breaks up the trust. That breaks up the safety. That breaks up the probably three or four of the things that you need to have a thriving community. And then the next thing is jail. They lock you up for for not paying your child support. But how could you have paid those things if those things are stripped from you? The application, I feel like, needs to be reformed, because they ask you, what are your assets? What is being left to you? What cash do you have on hand? but they don't ask you, are you paying a car note and do you need help with assistance with that? Or they don't ask you, are you paying for a phone bill and do you need assistance with that? The essential things that you need just to have a productive household is not on the application, but they're taking from your growth. So how are you asking me to get ahead, or how are you assisting me in getting ahead when you're constantly stripping me from the things that's essential? So I feel like that's first and foremost. We can do the work on ourselves because we have barbecues, we have cookouts, we have family gatherings all the time. We are family a lot of times. But the way that the system is designed, it strips us from being whole. So I feel like the corner stores should have a mentorship program within the corner stores. Anything that comes into the community to stay in the community and not be taken out of the community. A lot of times the corner stores they're not from, or they don't live there. So once they get that money, they take that money to where their side of town, and they buy on their side of town. And we do too. Once we get a little piece of money or anything extra for shopping or whatever, we go outside of the community. We don't get clothing vouchers for our children. We have to find a way to buy clothes ourselves for our children. That is not reported or on the application. Do you need clothing vouchers once or twice a year to clothe your children? We're giving hand-me-downs. Or we're supposed to figure it out. If you do hair on the side, they want that money reported. If you do nails on the side, they want that money reported. Anything that we do extra, as you know, a mother's going to figure it out, cleaning houses, find a way to make money on the side to get extra for their child. That money is supposed to be reported, or it's reported to RHA. So they take from that too. So if the system is designed not to get you ahead, but keep you stagnant, because without it, they won't exist. They wouldn't exist.
True. So let me ask you a few questions, if you don't mind, because I want this to be because I know your work and I know your passion for your work, and I know your work is a ministry. And so we're calling this Sunday sermons because I want to preach to our people, right, exactly what the needs are on the ground so we could get a real good picture of that, because that's where you work. You work in your communities, you're working with families. And the whole idea is to make families whole again. And you mentioned those factors of trust, safety, and health, education, and environment, which are vitally important to the stability of any individual, any family, any community. And so then you got into the structure of the system. And when you hit that jail piece, right, that change, that's a game changer, right? And so this application is tied into the balance that's in a family. That whole system of excluding men from being a part of the family is a part of the system, and being able to take the driver's license. Now, somebody would say, oh, well, if he was responsible enough, he should just go ahead and take care of his family. And I was thinking when we talked earlier, how can you – it's difficult to maintain one household, more or less two. And somebody would be like, well, you shouldn't have had those babies, right? So what are your suggestions and solutions for navigating the system, right, and to bring all this thing back around to where we can begin to take those strides and those steps toward making families whole again?
I feel like when these men come home, there should be programs. You're saying they go to a halfway house or they go to a reentry house. They're not even allowed on the property of some of these communities. They'll get was the banned from being on the property if they're mm-hmm. not on lease and they come see their children. So I feel like when we, upon release of these, of any individual, man or woman, these reentry houses should be linked to putting the families back together, not just giving them a bus ticket, telling them, you know, have a nice life, or we don't want to see you back here again. That's like a slap in their face because you're sending them back into a society that has nothing for them, with no structure. So a lot of ways, you want the cycle to continue, because without the cycle, the system wouldn't exist. It's called
so, as African Americans. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's called a system for a reason. It's a vicious cycle, and they call it for a reason. There's a project to them. They call the low housing community projects. You have to really sit back and think about why are we projects to them, or why do they call us projects?
So what's the solution? Where do we start? How do we get out of that? How do we work our way? What's the first step?
I think the first step in structuring is we have to be fair with one another. We have to be just with one another. We have to have unconditional love for one another.
Mm.
If you're not healthy, I'm not healthy.
Mm.
If you're not whole, I'm not whole. We have to see and be an advocate for one another. We have to be advocating for what we see is going wrong in our communities. We have to advocate for the things we need oversight for these systems. Some of these systems need oversight to ensure that they're doing. If you get a certain amount of money to do a program for the children in the community, and the children say, "Oh, I never talked to that person, or I never saw that person." Where's the money? What have you done with that funding? I've seen so many times where other organizations have money set aside for programs for the kids, and the kids have not successfully done anything with that program. If you say, "Oh, I came out there and I fed 100 children or 100 families," because you gave a bag of food to a family, did you really feed them? Because half the stuff in that bag, I'm pretty sure, is close to expiring or is not something that a family would eat. You putting stuffing in the middle of the – if you putting a box of stuffing in the middle of the summer in a bag, nobody's eating stuffing in the summertime. Nobody's eating water potatoes that you have to add water to. Just some of those things in the bag don't even have labels on them. It's just a white sealed bag. I couldn't tell you what's in that bag. I couldn't tell you how long that bag been in the bag.
True.
So,
and you know,
you
that's
gave me, but if you gave me an
go
empty
ahead.
Bag, and you tell me I can go into the store and fill up this empty bag, then I can agree you say 100%.
Right. And I think that's the reality of it, because I think some of our people don't understand the reality of the condition of what many of our people go through. Right. And I think it's learning these things and understanding these things. Chris, I want to ask you a question. We got a caller that has called in. Would you want to take a call?
Yeah, I can take a call.
All right. 4953, you got your hand raised. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I got a comment.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. I'm calling from the Midwest. No, the what it takes to make families whole, the first thing is education of your child.
True.
And I think you got too many, you know, people that are stuck in these government schools that need to be, that may have worked 50 years ago, but it doesn't work today because there's you have functional families, although they poor, they should have the opportunity to put their child where they want them to be. And another thing, this idea of, you know, I heard y'all using the word term our people, so on. You're talking about human beings.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter the skin color. And there's no such thing as no one ethnic group that's homogenous, or should I say that's all marching to the same tune. If that's the case, then look at these African immigrants in the United States, like the Nigerians. Nigerian families have a higher household income than whites and Asians, and they have a higher education attainment than any other immigrant group, and also those that's first and second generation is born here. Why come they not being studied? Think. Why come they not being studied? Hey, on the basketball, you study the Los Angeles Lakers. Baseball, you study the New York Yankees and see what they're doing. Why come they're not being studied and mimic and picking up some of the ways? But to make it short, it's family, education, family, and educating your kids so that they can go out into the world and contribute to society in a meaningful way.
All right, thank you, sir, for your call.
I totally agree with him 100%. I agree with him 100%, and I appreciate him, you know, pointing that out. My children's godfathers are African, from Cameroon, Africa, and I chose them for just that reason, to educate myself and educate my children on the family dynamic, and to also see how they thrive and show my kids better, because I didn't have the tools, but I made sure that I wanted those tools for my children. So their fathers, their godfathers, most definitely instilled in them education. My daughter is at George Mason as a mathematics major, and she studied law while she was in high school. So she graduated. She had two graduations, one from for her law, and then one was from high school. And then once she got to college, she decided to just be a mathematics major. My second daughter, who they're brothers, the godfathers are brothers. So my second daughter, she struggled coming from Richmond public schools into the county schools. And once we got to the county schools, with the same influence from the family, she thrives, and she's now graduating with honors. But it took, you know, for them to, like you said, take her under their wing, instill those things in her, and that was the mentor that, you know, she had. So I agree. Everybody should be mentoring. No one person, no go without being mentored by someone else, someone that's doing great. So
I just like to add this, is that he made a point about specifically targeting. This is African-American empowerment, because we know the condition of many of our people, and you're talking directly to it. And so our effort is to be able to, one, expose the condition, but also elevate, motivate, and empower our people from that condition through a system that is working to maintain that position. So I just want to be clear that this is African-American empowerment. We know the condition that many of our people have experienced and still experience in this country, and we want to eradicate some of those positions that will, again, empower our people. I'm sorry, Chris, I just had to get that in. Go ahead.
Right. So I will also say, when it comes to the money aspect of what he talked about, I know all too well that it's called a SUSU, or I want to say they call it a fufu, or what we call the money train. So a lot of times in that family dynamic of Nigerians or Africans, they have a fufu pot where they put their money all in one pot and give it to one person. And then the next month they put them all their money in another pot and give it to the next person. So that's, and then they use their money wisely. And they're educated on how to use their money. So when you
that's
use their money, so you have to go in depth of where that money, how they're circulating their money just within one family. We're supposed to be circulating, we're asked to circulate our money within a community, not within just a family. If we did it just in the family, we'll be along the same lines as well. But can you trust that your money is not my money? So can you really trust that I will be able to obtain and hang on the train, ride that train?
Right. But no. I think the thing is, too, is that those people come from a cultural tradition. They come from a background. They have a culture and a foundation that they bring with them here, which is different from the foundation which we have culturally. So, Crystal, we got about 3 minutes, right? So much to talk about, but I want to get some closing comments from you before we wrap up for today. Thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you, caller, for calling. Closing comments.
In closing, you know, I just say unconditional love. You know, we have to stop pointing the fingers, and we most definitely have to stop counting each other out. We have to start standing together and show unconditional love towards one another.
I like that. So if anybody want to find out about your organization, how can they reach you?
My email is my full name, Krista Ellison, CHRISTAELLISON at YMail.com. My Facebook is under my founder, Nadir Abdullah Salam, and it's Freedom for Everything.
All right, Krista, thank you. Continue to do the great work. Continue to inspire and continue to make a difference right where you are. Again, this is Sunday Sermons, right? It's about education. It's about empowerment. But it's about perspectives, opinions, and to be able to grow not only mentally, spiritually, but also those tenets that Krista mentioned, and that is to be just, to be fair, to advocate, to love your neighbor as yourself. And as we continue to just work on those foundational principles, are you unconditional? Do you have unconditional positive regard for yourself, for your neighbor, for your family, for your friends, for your community? Are you just in your ways? Are you fair? Do you operate in the principle of fairness? And lastly, are you willing to advocate for somebody else? Are you willing to support someone else? Are you willing to strengthen someone else who's in need, right? So we have to, again, work together, not to point the finger, but to point that finger at ourselves first to say, I have not disrespected. I have not hurt. I have not harmed. I have not created dysfunction in my community or in my family or in those lives of the people who I've impacted. And that's what it's all about. So it's about integrity. It's about having a moral compass. And I want to leave you with this before we wrap up today. There are some tenets that we're going to start promoting within the empowerment. And we're going to start off just understanding that there is a need for change. Once we understand that, then we have 7 virtues that I'm wrapping up on. One is this virtuous life begins with integrity. It requires humility. It requires honesty, like Krista talked about, loyalty, respect, justice, and most of all, courage. Until next week, until next Saturday, 2 p.m., Empowerment Saturday, continue to work on yourself, become the best person that you can be. I'm Marvin Rowan. Until then, peace and blessings. Thanks, Krista. Appreciate you. And as always, oh yeah, oh